Yvette Stalens interviewing Roger Luckwell and Sheila Luckwell at Western Zoyland on the 26th of May 2015. So I'm going to start off asking each of you where you were born and when.
When? Ancient past. 43, in Clevedon.
In Clevedon.
In Somerset, yeah.
41. In Nailsea,
so that's some, both Somerset.
Yep.
Okay, and where did you meet?
Where did we meet? Well, when you were invited to John Clevedon, would come along to Clevedon Folk Dancing Society,
yeah,
or club, whatever they called themselves, Clevedon Folk Dance Club, I think it was.
So tell me about that, Sheila. What's the story behind that?
I knew his parents through my association with guiding, and they were sort of looking for new recruits to the guide company, or to the club, folk dance club, and the EFDSS was having a week of folk when they were trying to be. Nationally, they were trying to encourage everybody to get a few more people involved. And the Clevedon Club had decided to have a Cayley. And Roger's mum said, I know you can sing because of Guide Campfire, and Roger sings and plays guitar. Do you think possibly the two of you could get together and do something? We hadn't even met at that stage, had
no,
we?
No, hardly.
I don't think we had. I don't think we'd met at that stage.
So folk music, how long has that been in your life? Tell me about when folk music started for you.
Well, always. Me and Dad was always in Mendip Morris, you know. He ended up as a principal of Mendip Morris. So there was always music around, and when I started off with the guitar, because I think we found a guitar in my aunt's attic when we were going out one day. Then many years later, I suppose about 10 years later, we're cleaning out the attic again, we've had a fiddle. So I thought, this is interesting, see if we can get a tune out of it. And I produced some sort of noise, I wouldn't say it was a tune. So I took up the fiddle. It's about that then, I think probably because I started that, Mum started playing the accordion. Dad had always tried to play the melodeon. He could play stuff, I think he worked out mainly Morris tunes, and he wasn't very good at the other ones, I'm afraid. We formed a sort of family band, and when we had a dance in the garden, which they did once a year, I suppose.
Yeah, barbecue.
Called the barbecue.
Yeah. And where was the garden?
My father's had Maidcraft in the Clevedon Road in Flaxbourton. We used to have an open air Cayley barbecue type thing there. And we played a few tunes there. Because it was the only live music they had. They got some old records. Which really wasn't very successful.
So tell me about your father.
My father. I don't know when he originally joined Mendip, but he was one of the founder members of Mendip, actually. Before Mendip, I'm thinking Clevedon Morris came before Mendip, the original Clevedon Morris. He formed that. And then they sort of evolved, I think, into Mendip. So he's always been a dancer with Mendip. When eventually he couldn't operate his limbs and wouldn't have to dance, he was almost their chief musician, I think. Then he was made president of Mendip. When he died, he was the president, wasn't he?
Yes. But he'd been involved with folk dancing.
And he'd been involved with folk dancing. Yeah, so he's again a founding member of the Clevedon Club. And he got involved with the FDSS. up from the National Executive, disappearing up to London every week, which is most people's concern.
Oh, I went with him once.
And yeah, to London.
Your mum and your dad, and they took me, and it was a do up in sort of a sharp house. Don't remember much about it, but it was some sort of Saturday night do, or maybe it was some sort of meeting of some sort.
I spoke to it
after. Yeah, until, you know, ended up with a Kayleigh. Mm-hmm.
And so the association with Halsey, tell me about how that started.
Well, because we're all basically involved in folk, Bill Ratter decided to organise a trip to Poland. We were sort of a little bit hazy about what date it was. We decided it was 64, something like that, I think it was, just before things started. Now, and Bill Ratter and Dad and the other one, Jeff Rye, I think.
Gay Gaylor,
they sort of disappear in a little huddle occasionally on this thing, and I think they were discussing plans. Well, of course, the Hunts were under as well. Dunnell and
Marjorie,
that's right, yeah, Hunts. Yeah, and Bill sort of, I think, sort of said it'd be nice to have a Southwest folk centre somewhere. And as far as I can gather, the Hunts sort of said, well, you know, Halsey Manor, probably don't know Halsey Manor, but whoever it was who owned the place, whose name again I can't remember.
The Gar Wilkinsons.
Probably. I was sort of interested in folk and arts and that sort of thing. But they're thinking of moving. And the Hunts, of course, had the flat up the top. And they sort of suggested, well, I wonder if we could have that. We made some inquiries. And they offered it to what became the society, the Halsey Society, at a ridiculously low price. And in the end, they said, well, who's going to raise some money? And four or five of them sort of said, well, put in I think it's £1,000 each or something. I suppose in those days it was quite a lot, but. And they raised the money and they bought the place.
And your father was one of the original...
He was one of the people who contributed, yes. Yeah, so we're somewhere amongst these papers we found various bits of paper. some clause in it somewhere, the thing didn't work and had bust or something. You remember, have to pay £1 or something like that. But anyway, it didn't go bust, it worked. And... He used to go down reasonably, I think, but sort of from Flexbourne to Halsey. Even in those days, it didn't actually seem as far as it does in today, really. Though we didn't have a motorway or anything like that.
Yeah, but there wasn't much traffic about.
So no, there wasn't much traffic. There weren't all these speed limits from 1938.
So do you remember your first impressions of Halsey when you went down there?
It's an old building, very enjoyable, and of course the long room. Oh, I remember the hallway, a beautiful hallway, and the long room. They used to have the band tucked away in that little window place at the end of the long room, which wasn't really successful if they couldn't see the dancers properly. But yeah, we went to get a lot of dances there, didn't we?
We did most of our courting down there. Quite a bit of it, anyway.
Because I said you could get from Flexbourne to Halsey in just over an hour. Well, it takes you that these days.
What about the accommodation?
Well, I never stayed there.
No, we never stayed in those days.
We never stayed there because we all could always get home. Mm-hmm. Okay, a bit late sometimes. we used to leave Halsey in midnight, I suppose, and get home about 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Didn't matter in those days.
No.
So do you remember any of the bands or the callers or?
Oh. Well, Western Country Dance Band used to play a lot there, I think, there.
Yes.
What the devil is his name?
The about. Oh gosh.
No, I can't remember.
What about the Yetis?
Yeah, we certainly had some.
I've been playing as a band there, but certainly with...
I do want, yeah.
They've played as a band for a year, for a long time, when they started off. They were singers.
There were a couple from somewhere Bridgewater Way, I think. Robert Blackburn, and no idea what the other one was. What was the lady called? I have no idea. He played sometime.
How many people were roughly involved when you were there in the dances?
Whatever it was you went down to, I really can't remember whether it's a regular thing or not, but the hall was pretty well full.
It was, yes.
Did they have a bar?
Well, you didn't start off with, I'm quite certain. Well, it's, you can go to it. I was probably too young to go to it. I thought they didn't have a bar to start off with.
I don't remember having a bar.
And what about, you mentioned earlier, I'm interested in the guides, you said, went there. What's that story?
Well, that wasn't that. That's only just recently.
Recently's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's, that was, as I say, probably five or six years ago now, when the guide group that calls themselves the Friends of the Four World Centres decided they wanted somewhere different to go, because normally they go to guide training centres, which there are various ones around Britain, and for a sort of annual reunion, and they said they were looking for something different, something new. So I suggested to them try Halsey. Well, I said, look it up on the website. And so they did, and they got in touch, and I think they got in touch directly with Biff Butler, and it all blossomed from there. And they had a fantastic week the first week. As I say, with good weather. and couldn't believe our luck. And at that stage, we hadn't been back to Halsey for donkey's years. And it made a lovely week, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a long time since we've been there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So do you remember any stories associated with characters or events, or your father might have told you, your mum might have told you something?
Not really, no.
I don't know.
They must have stayed there some ago. One thing I do remember is everybody seemed to complain about the rugs. You can know the thing. He would still think for those things going off every morning. Didn't worry me, Pitt.
No, he's a bird lover.
But no, I really don't remember anything with stories like that.
And your father continued until he passed away, involved in Halsey, did he? He was a trustee, was he?
I would imagine he was. I'm not certain of that. He certainly...
In his last few years, he wouldn't have been able to do very much anyway.
No, he couldn't do very much anyway. He had Parkinson's disease and was...
When
I had to give up playing because he couldn't control his fingers well enough.
After your mum died.
Yeah, he went a bit after that.
Yeah. Yeah, married again, but I don't think Beryl was very interested in that sort of thing.
No, I don't think so.
So if I was to say to you, what does Halsey mean to you in your life?
That's a difficult one. I think it was a sort of place which hasn't changed structurally, for the last 100,000 years. And it's always there. And it's somewhere you can go and have a good time if it's suitable. There's always something out nowadays. Then occasionally you have these things that's really worth going to.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, we're staying for the 50th because I didn't know what to give him for Christmas. I talked it over with Hazel and said, "Do you think if I ring them and see can we get booked in for the 50th anniversary, that'll be his Christmas present." So I rang up and Viv was very, very obliging.
Excellent. And tell me about the tree.
Ah.
Well, we thought, originally when Dad died, we ought to do something else. It sort of slipped, you know, you don't think about it again.
Yeah.
And then it would have been his 100th birthday, wouldn't it?
Yeah, last year it would have been his 100th birthday.
And he died when he was 91, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I said, well, it's going to be his 100th birthday, that's a good time to do it. Let's make the effort and see, shall we?
And when we were there with the guides in the April,
yeah,
April or May, I can't remember now. May have been May. And we spoke to Paul.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, as we were leaving, we spoke to Paul and sort of suggested. And Paul was full of enthusiasm.
So we fixed the date and the gardener, whoever it is, I've got his name now, sussed out a tree. He found a local cider apple tree, because Dad was always, I mean, he was an pomologist, an apple person.
Oh, tell me more about that.
He worked at Long Ashton Research Station when he was originally the Cider Institute and became the research station from the University of Bristol till he closed down a few years ago.
Yeah.
So he always, in the latter years anyway, he worked there. So we knew all about apples. So we thought an apple tree might be the best sort of tree to try. So he sussed out one, he got it, and he went down there and dug a hole and bugged it in. Hopefully it's still alive.
that's what we're going to check on. Mighty.
And was your father, you say he was involved, was he dancer, caller, accordion? You mentioned accordion.
Melodeon,
sorry.
Yeah, only for Morris, anything else really.
Yeah.
He was a dancer, certainly, yes, yeah. All the time. Cool, I don't remember him actually ever calling or even him saying anything. I think he kept out of that.
Probably, you know.
And did Mendip Morris have a dancer hall? I know West Somerset danced there, but did Mendip ever come down?
No, it's really West Somerset's patch, and that. I don't have no recollection of ever seeing Mendip down there.
They might have been.
Well, they may well have.
You know,
yeah.
Again, for somebody, some celebration or something.
But, you know, some Morris guys are a bit sticky about it. Those dancers on their patch. just thought they're a bit sticky about whether they have women dancing with them or not. Which I'm afraid we did in Dublin, but.
It was a case of have women or not. I didn't do it because I was too busy doing other things.
Well, Dad was quite happy with the idea, but Mendip wouldn't come and see us and visit us or anything, even though Dad tried to get into it.
But you've got three generations of dancers in your family now, haven't you?
Yes.
Yes.
That's what I said, third generation. Well, to encourage you.
Tell me about your third generation.
Yeah. I have to probably embarrass her. No, she's always been interested in music. Well, I mean, she grew up with it. You know, she had no choice. She grew up with it. But she always enjoyed music. She had a... When she was... Out with Morris somewhere, when Francis gave her your first chord lesson... One of the members from Dublin Morris, English lady, teaches recorder, and Hazel was only sort of maybe a little bit bigger.
I was kind of 10, 11 when she taught me properly. So
yeah, but
8 or 9, I imagine.
Probably, yeah. And she was bored on the Morris outing, Morris weekend. She was bored, so Francis took her to one side and said, I'll teach you how to play a golf. And that gave her the impetus to, you know, to be interested in music.
Yeah, and dancing followed on from there. Yeah.
Well, she didn't do any dancing until you, it's only recently that,
yeah,
you know,
it's,
she's been with
a couple of years.
I rebelled when I was a teenager, I think, as most teenagers do, when they want to do things my parents did.
No, probably not.
Yeah, but she did the real. She kept the music. She kept the music.
We've always played. A bit,
we've always,
we?
Yeah. We've always played. Yeah.
Yeah. Music, but and I mean, you probably know she's a music therapist anyway. Now
it's only because I'm settled there. I started looking for things to do, and I just sort of saw Sweet Cobbler and I thought, well, that sounds like fun. I'd give that a go.
Great fun.
I can include you on this, Hazel, actually. And so tell us about Sweet Cobbler and how you got involved in that.
How I got involved in it? Well, I didn't actually see them dance. I saw them because I was playing with Taunton Concert Band at the Tacky Morris in Taunton, and they were dancing. And I just saw the name, and I just somewhere rang a bell, and I thought, well, that sounds like fun, that'd be something else to do. I might just... And I emailed them, and it happened that it was their open evening that Monday night, I think, and they sort of said, come along. And I really went with a view to playing. That had been my sort of idea, to sort of play a bit more folk music. When I got there, they said, oh, we need dancers. A pair of clogs. Off you go.
Well, the flute wasn't the best instrument.
The flute wasn't the best instrument.
For club dancing, could I hear it?
Well, I kind of really enjoyed it, so I sort of thought I'd stick with it, really.
Yeah, what was it like dancing in clogs?
It takes a bit of getting used to. But once you're used to it, something you don't think anything of it. It's just normal. You just,
It's always the sort of Christmas present.
It's
always
the Christmas present problem, didn't it?
So how long have you been dancing this week?
2 years. My second season.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So have you got any other dancers in your family? Or musicians, or folk musicians?
Well, my aunt, my mother's sister, ran the Clevedon Folk Dance Group, which is why they were involved with it, obviously. She knew quite a lot about it. Anybody else? Well, I played with the Welsh Folk Dancing when I was in university. I played for the Welsh Folk Dancing Group.
Where were you at university?
Swansea. And we got to know Pat Shaw, didn't we? Yeah, Pat Shaw and Shaw. Yeah,
we've got to mention that.
Yeah, so I suppose Dad knew him somehow. I'm not quite sure. But he got involved with Clevedon. He used to come down with very often for the birthday party from Clevedon Folk Dance Club and emcee that for us.
And before my time, before I heard him.
They used to go, I was trying to play Welsh tunes. And he said, why not go? Because he was quite into Welsh music as well. So he taught me a few tunes and tried to play some of them without much success sometimes. Once or twice, we went down to Sidmouth. I think he sort of, because I was left with the only musician on some days, and that wasn't really successful, one fiddler with a whole crowd of people. You know, he used to come join in and play with me, which is rather nice.
Yeah. And then he composed a couple of tunes, didn't he?
Oh, yes, yes. He always composed a dance on the tune for Clevedon Group on their 21st birthday party. They called one tune "As Luck Will Have It," obviously for Dad, and the other one was "Doreen's Delight." Well, actually, I think the dance is called "Doreen's Delight." I think the tune used to be called "Sundial Cottage," but it doesn't seem to be any longer. It's quite unplayable, anyway.
That was. Your aunt, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's my aunt. Dorian.
And
so we have two tunes in the family, if you like.
Terrific, yeah. I'd certainly like to see copies of those.
Yeah.
Well, they're in Pat Shaw's book.
Brilliant, thank you.
And there was that other one that he wrote for the Silver Wedding.
That wasn't Pat Shaw.
That was
somebody else. I never discovered who wrote Silver Celebration.
There were several couples in the folk, as far as I can gather, there were several couples in the folk dance world who were celebrating their silver wedding at the same time.
In Somerset, I think it was four couples. It was a mum and dad, obviously.
The Gaylors?
Gaylors. Rise, I think. And somebody else, I can't remember.
And what happened?
Sorry?
What happened?
Somebody, again, who's, I'm not quite sure because she didn't have it on her music, composed a tune called Silver Celebration, which was actually a dance as well. And we had to do that, of course.
Yeah, we did. And that was at Halsey, or in the folk club?
No, it was folk club, Clapton.
Yes, dance club, yeah.
Yes, we used it when we had our silver wedding hour over in Dublin, we used it.
Does it seem 50 years ago since Halsey started to you?
No.
More than 50.
Think so?
No, it's 50, isn't it? Yeah.
It is 50.
Not you.
No, it doesn't seem 50 years ago to me, but...
No, the last 50 years have gone very quickly.
Well, we've had so long, we haven't really had much contact with them.
Why was that?
Well, because we're living in Ireland. We'll
see when did you move over?
Sorry?
When did you move over?
When did we move over? When I graduated in 68. Mm. We've been living there ever since. Yeah. We used to come back pretty regularly, but not always going as far as Halsey.
No, get back as far as Somerset and that would be...
Well, we used to buy all our holidays. We used to stop with the parents, you know, have a break of a day or so and then disappear off to France or something.
So the planting of the tree as a result of the guiding connection was... That was the first time you'd been there since the 60s?
I have a vague recollection of going there for something to do with the Welsh folk dances, but what it was, I have no idea.
We were there for the 21st.
Yeah. In 1965, we decided. No, not 65, 60.
85.
So give me your impressions of it when you went back recently.
It hadn't changed at all.
No, it hadn't.
It was just as beautiful. The grounds were fantastic.
The only thing that had changed was that when we were there originally, the mews weren't... They were still the stables. They weren't. They hadn't been converted. Yes. And that really was the only change I noticed, really.
Well, they've erected a maypole. I don't remember Maypole originally being there.
Otherwise, it was exactly
the same. Exactly the same. Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. Just hope they're not going to spoil it now with all the, you know, with the new bits. I don't think they will, though.
Well, they stick with their plans. The plans seem to keep people fairly well hidden, which is good. Now, they sent that big questionnaire around. I don't know where we got one, actually. We did. Well, what would you like to see done?
It was because it came around after we were on the main list, after we'd been to...
I suppose
so. ..stayed there the first year. Mm. We put our names down on the main list.
So we returned that.
Yes, actually, what we should do is we should become members now.
Suppose
he should. Well, we're going to this, you know, we're coming to the thing and we're not actually members. None of us.
Okay, I'm going to make this my last sort of question. Have you anything else that you want to tell me about your memories of Halsey or your father or something you feel that you want to put on record? Or...
I think that's it. Most of our things are really fairly well on record in various places because I was on the National Executive for years. Everything to do with the society is the English Folk Dance Society, I mean, this time is fairly well documented.
Didn't you used to go to like music things up there with the Yetis when you were growing up, sort of thing? Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Used
to go to with the,
well, yeah,
obviously
yes,
before
when,
they were the Yetis,
yeah,
but
when I first started playing the East, I was going to call the Somerset Players Club. Have you ever heard of that? Yeah. Anybody was welcome. And sometimes you'd have a local musician sort of playing a few tunes with you. Sometimes they had bigger names, didn't they? Pat Shaw once. I'm thinking about Brian Wilcox once as well, actually. Just to try and get people playing for dancing. And the Yetis came along to that when they could hardly play anything. And I think it was Pat Shaw one day said, anybody want to play anything special? And Pete stuck his hand up and said, yeah, Gilderoy. Pat Shaw said, well, you can't play Gilderoy. So do a second, so I'll play the right hand. Mac plays the bass. Because then start off with Mac used to play the accordion for the guitar. And we played Gilderoy. Well, I didn't play that. Couldn't play it either in those days. But they played it. It was quite successful. Yeah. I can't think of anything else, really.
How about you, Sheila?
No, I'm sort of grateful to the whole setup, because otherwise I probably wouldn't have, our relationship probably might not have come off.
It might not have.
I think it's a wonderful place. And it's got I just wish we'd been able to afford to come over more frequently.
Yeah,
you know,
nice,
in the past,
yeah.
It would have been lovely. Because there's nothing, very little back in Ireland that suits our taste in folk music.
No, I'm not into Irish music, I'm afraid. I'm not quite sure what his position was. He was some organiser of Somerset folk music, whatever it's called.
He would have met people at places like Sidmouth.
Yes, he ran Sidmouth. The first time the Welsh people went to Sidmouth.
And he was in charge of it.
He's Bill Lesser.
And he organised all the trips abroad, because I went on a trip to Portugal with him, and he was on that. You know, he was organising that.
Come on, I forgot how you use this thing.